Bruce Jenkins is going to join us right now as we look through the window of baseball for Truett & White, the professional builder's choice. Marvin Windows and Doors. Bruce, happy Labor Day to you, and glad to have you with us.
It's good to be with you, Marty. Yeah, I'll second that on Cespedes to the Giants. I mean, I don't know how the Mets could possibly let him go. The fans would be crushed, but if he is going to be a free agent, and I'm sure he's interested in testing the market, so who knows?
Yeah, and I would overpay for him if you could get him. I think he's that dynamic of a player.
He really is.
Right age, and I would love to have him here. So we'll see. I don't know. Yeah, it's a good question, Bruce. Do they go for an outfielder? And I know they need pitchers, but is Aoki the guy and Pagan back in center and Pence and Blanco a backup? Do you come back with that next year?
Well, you could. Aoki's problems, I think, they're eventually going to clear up. And Pagan, when he's right, he's good. It's a decent outfield, but I really think pitching, I would assume that they're going to re-sign Leak. I think they'll go hard on that. But after that, you really need that third guy. With PV and Kane, obviously Lincecum's a big question mark. Heston's been up and down. There's nobody coming up that I don't think they can really bank on for the rotation. I think they'd probably go hardest for a starting pitcher.
Yeah, I think so. If they could corral one of the top guys, and again, I think they're at the point of this franchise with the players they have. The window can open again.
Mm-hmm.
And the window can open again because they have the core guys. And if you get the pitching right again, and the bullpen looks like it's still pretty much a lockdown bullpen, if you just can figure out the starting rotation, you're back. And your window, you got Bumgarner for another 5 years. You got your guy you're signing probably for 5 years. You've got Leak if you get him for 5 years. The window is wide open again, and you're back to 2010.
Yeah, if they do get that third really frontline guy, and they have three of them in the prime of their lives, then they're really rolling because, they've shown, they can put an offense together against all odds. Like a couple days ago was the best example. It was Colorado, but, free agents looking at the Giants from the outside, they've got to be admiring what this team is doing, hanging on. There's so much character there that really defines them, and it's a real destination, especially for pitchers.
Yeah, boy, interesting. By the way, Michael Wacha is not pitching today for the Cardinals. It is Lance Lynn. I guess they're backing Wacha off a little bit. That seems to be the moment of the thought of the day here. Back your pitchers off. Don't use them so much.
Yeah, I'm sure. I know guys like Tom Seaver and some of these older cats are going, you got to pitch more. Even Tommy John said that. From what I hear from guys who really know what's going on, who have pitched and did pitch a long time, it's the early part of your life that's really killing these guys. Throwing curves and sliders and cutters and circle changes when they're 12 years old, trying to imitate the big leaguers, putting huge strain on their arm at a much too early age, getting the Tommy John when they're 17 or who knows what. But if you take care of your arm, if you just throw fastballs and occasional curve in little league, and then once you get into big leagues, you can pitch 250 innings every year. It's just proven time after time.
Wait, Dwight Gooden did it.
Yeah.
When he came up. How about the number? You think back, it's not that long ago for what Gooden did as a 19, 20-year-old. And of course, he had the drug issues, which maybe cut his career short. But I never thought his arm gave out, for that. But Scherzer, what about Max Scherzer? What's going on with him? Bruce, before this latest home run from Cespedes, he had given up 14 home runs in 56 innings after giving up like four in the first 150 innings he pitched or something. The danger of getting a big free agent, and Max Scherzer, Matt Williams is in a 5-4 game. Now, this is going to be interesting. He's in a 5-4 game in the bottom of the fifth. And if this is Bruce Bochy, if this is someone else, and you're watching Scherzer just give up home runs all over the place, don't you go to the bullpen now? This is when you need the save.
Yeah, well, I haven't been watching that game. I've been out and about. I'm just going to plug into it right now, actually. But that's a big problem for them. I mean, we saw Scherzer come into AT&T and get lit up. You know, he was throwing 95, but there was no movement on it. He wasn't trusting his breaking ball, and he really got hammered, and that's kind of been the case. And that's the modern, typical of the modern day baseball is it's a total roll of the dice when you sign a pitcher. You know, James Shields has been very up and down for the Padres. He was a guy the Giants were looking into, but then again, you know, a guy like David Price looks like he's on the rise. I know Bumgarner's not going to be slowing down for 5 or 6 years. He wants to throw more innings. He says, "I want to throw more innings every year." That's what I like.
I like that. By the way, Cespedes' home run was in the top of the fourth, made it 3-0. So the Mets have the lead 5-4, and it is in the bottom of the fifth. We had a good discussion yesterday, and I don't remember if you and I touched on it. If we did, tell me. David Ortiz, and I've got a big hit today for the Red Sox. They're playing against Toronto. Mark Burley has been knocked out. It's 5-1 Red Sox. It's Fenway Park, the sunshine, the green monster and all that. David Ortiz at the 30 homers, 9 years for the Red Sox. Williams didn't do it and things like that. David Ortiz, a Hall of Famer?
I think he is. I had trouble for a lot of years as far as voting DHs into the Hall of Fame. I don't like the DH at all. But it exists, and it is a position, and you have to acknowledge that. I did vote for Edgar Martinez. He's the only one I voted for, but Ortiz is in that category without a doubt. He's a tremendous clutch hitter. He's had some runs of clutch hitting when they were winning pennants that were just stunning. And I really think he fits the bill, and he's one of those guys. One of my main criteria is always, did he strike you as a Hall of Famer, you know, as the years went on at the time? And he absolutely has done that. So, yeah, I think he probably will get in.
Yeah, I think so. And I guess the DH issue, and I put it out to the audience yesterday and different people, and I think even professionally a couple of the people who called in. And the DH is the issue. Can you vote a DH in? And I think, look, it's part of the game.
Yeah.
And if that is a position that is paid well, it's in every American League game. I mean, we have so many interleague games, 20 back and forth with the other teams. How do you ignore it? And if a guy is that good, and I think I agree with you. Ortiz, for me, is a Hall of Famer. And you just watch every one of these games, the big games, whatever, and he just has that unique power that you don't see on other people in the game today. You just don't see it.
No, he rises above it, rises above the pressure and the tension. And you know, don't ever tell me, I know you wouldn't, that there's no such thing as a clutch hitter. Some of the stat guys think there's no such thing as clutch, but you can see it in somebody's eyes when he gets up there. You can see guys who are a little deer in the headlights. You can see guys who just can't wait to get in there. They come up there with a bib and a knife and fork. They're ready to go. So, and he's definitely one of those guys.
All right, Giants in Arizona today. Paddock is not in the lineup. More information is coming out on Twitter here as the morning goes on. He's not 100%. He feels it's not a chronic issue. It will repair itself with rest over the winter. But he's not in there today. Bochy's going to have to regulate his time over this last month here. This is very important to see how Joe Panik reacts to this, how he plays this month, and actually to find out what's wrong with him.
Yeah, well, the good thing is with the 40-man rosters, you can have him around the team, which he wants and they want. They want to be able to see him up firsthand, maybe give him a pinch hit appearance, whether they throw him out in the field and make him, you know, susceptible to a hard slide on double play pivot. I doubt that they'd do that, but he's around and they can see him firsthand. That's, to me, yet another good thing about the expanded rosters. I know a lot of people are against that, but you know, they'll be able to see. But there's no way that you – I mean, I'm glad that he's not in the lineup if he's not 100%. I mean, because, you know, back injury is nothing to fool around with. So they'll take it real slow, and it'll be really up to him to tell him what he thinks he can do.
Well, Brett Bochy is back, and his dad said he earned it back. There's always that cloud around this kid, isn't there?
He's gone away several times, and he always comes back. He'll be around longer than Bruce, I think. But no, it's great. I mean, it's great to see him. He's got good stuff. It's not like it's a family arrangement here. I mean, and he'll get some innings now. so we'll see what happens. I mean, if for some reason they do, you know, fall too far out of it, we'll be able to find out a lot of things about a lot of guys.
Yeah, we talked about Clayton Blackburn yesterday. They're talking about another call-up coming up tomorrow, and who knows, I don't think it'll be a pitcher of that type of ilk, starting pitcher, because they're still in this thing. But they're going to get another call-up. Kane might be back tomorrow as well. Affelt is back today. What do you think Matt Cain's going to do here over this next month? What would you do with him?
Well, it's too late for Matt Cain, I think, to all of a sudden be Matt Cain, and here we go, and it's a big playoff push, and isn't this like 2010 again? It seems a little bit late just in terms of Cain in every respect. But, you know, because he's not – his arm's not falling off, it's just a different feel to his arm after the surgery. I just think it's a lot of hard work until spring training. That's how I look at it. Yeah. I don't look at anything miraculous happening right now.
Yeah. I wouldn't even – I personally wouldn't even run him out there again.
I know. Exactly.
Yeah, I don't see any point in that.
No.
How many games do you have to get closer to the Dodgers with how many left before you it would really pique your interest and say, wow, let's start watching this thing?
You want to be one back with two to go. No, I mean, I mean, when they it's the Dodgers, it's that's not the last series. They've got one more series against Colorado at home,
right.
which could loom as at least two out of three. But the Dodgers come in with seven games left, and you, by the time they leave, you want to be you want to be within one of them, assuming the wild card isn't in the. If the, you know, I'm assuming the Cubs have pulled away in the wild card. It's hard to say. I mean, I'd say when the Dodgers come in, I'd want to be no more than three back.
All right. Well, that you know, my caller and I talked about it, and we talked about it with Henry and other people today. I think you sort of get a little bit excited when you can get this thing to like six back with 18 to go. Then all of a sudden, you know, now you're in the territory of baseball history. If you can get it there. But the eight back, if it goes to nine back or ten back, then, you know, it slips away. But you got to go forward and try to get it. That, for me, would be six with 18. And then I'll say, wow, now let's watch it every day and see what. And then the pressure becomes on the Dodgers as well.
Yeah, well, they've been able to hold it at seven and a half without Kershaw and Greinke lately, which is not a good sign for the Giants. Those guys are due up now, I guess, aren't they?
Yeah, Greinke is today.
Yeah.
Kershaw will go tomorrow. But Henry said something which is very interesting. And for, you know, fans of baseball, you get to this time of year and a team has a look. And the look is, we're going to win every game. It's going to be very difficult to beat us. And the Dodgers are starting to get that look.
No doubt.
That somehow they fall back in a game. The next thing you know, they're tied or back in the game. And
they haven't had that look in since 88.
Yes.
I mean, they have it now. And I think Puig being gone has a lot to do with it. I really do.
Yeah.
They've got a good thing going. And, you know, Giants fans know what that means. You know, it's a feel. It's more than the numbers. There's a feel to a team. And the way they come through, you know, as a team with all sorts of guys coming through. So they seem to have that right now, but we'll see.
Yeah, Labor Day, you know, it's another one of the markers of a baseball season. Bruce Jenkins with us. Are you a Mike Leake fan? Are you a big Mike Leake fan?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Huge Mike Leake fan. He's got tremendous stuff. He's a great athlete. He works fast. He's a good guy. He speaks well. No, nothing wrong with that guy. He'd be a tremendous addition for them for a full season. He's pitched great. He's pitching some real hard luck. It's too bad, but I don't have any issues with him whatsoever.
All right. How's your Labor Day looking? And after this, then, you know, it's sort of football and everything. You know, the fall is coming. Labor Day is always the one that says, okay, the summer's over.
Yeah. I just got out of the ocean. It's a beautiful day here at an ocean beach. And, I'll be doing some college football on Saturdays, but, you know, I'll be following baseball. It can't go too long for me. This year, we're in the early November, right?
Let's see as each day unfolds where the thing ends up at the end of the day, and that's the key. Hey, you had an interesting story in the Cron today, a big story.
Yeah, we've got a big project going that we're unveiling now called Game Changers, about things that were invented in Northern California that really changed, you know, the nature of that activity. Ann Killian did the, you know, mountain biking on Mount Tam used to be, that's pretty much the only place that it happened, and all of a sudden it became this local and then the national craze. And what I wrote about was many years ago, before wetsuits, people would surf in the dead of winter all up and down the coast here in like 48, 52 degree water without a wetsuit. Just like, oh my God, it's just inconceivable, really. And how there were very few of them. I mean, very few people wanted to do that.
Yeah.
And with the invention of the wetsuit, it just changed everything. And I tried to follow the evolution of it. You know, it was kind of comical at first. They didn't fit, or they were trying, you know, stuff from the military, and it didn't work for surfing and all this stuff. And I talked to some of these older guys who've gone through the transition. I actually went through it myself, you know, back in the late 60s and early 70s. And of course, it's changed everything. I mean, I was out, it's a nice day today, but I was out in the water. There were hundreds of people up and down the beach surfing. So it was quite a change. And it did happen here. Jack O'Neill
out
of Santa Cruz was the guy who really pioneered wetsuits for surfers. And, boy, did it take off.
Now, how many wetsuits do you have?
I've got two. I've got two real good ones. If I want to go out twice in a day, I've got one. I don't have to worry about the other one drying. I'll just pop the other one up.
All right.
And, yeah.
All right. Well, how about this story? The one-inning save by Tony La Russa. Didn't he invent that with Dennis Eckersley?
Well, I mean, Ron Piranowski got one-inning saves with the Dodgers in the 60s. I was there at Dodger Stadium. There's Koufax, Drysdale, or Koufax usually went all the way, but Ron Piranowski in the ninth inning, that was a staple. I mean, what La Russa invented was the procession, was Gene Nelson and Honeycutt, you know, 7, 8, 9 guys going one inning.
Well, Mike Moore told me, Mike Moore had an eight-inning shutout going, and it was like 2-0, and Mike Moore got ready to go out for the ninth inning, and as Tony La Russa says, no, that's X inning. And that was it. Mike Moore understood what they were doing, and that was Eckersley's inning. So, all right, I don't
agree with it, by the way. If Mike Moore's got a two-hit shutout going and you take him out, I don't agree with that. I don't care who it is coming in.
Well, Tony was steadfast on that one. So we'll see if someone does an article on that. I want to see an article on that one. On the revelation of the bullpen by Tony La Russa. All right.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you one thing. Eckersley didn't let him down. He was great almost every time. So yeah. Hard to argue with that.
All right. Thanks, Bruce. Have a good afternoon, and we will talk
Marty.
To you later in the week. I have my schedule straight. Thank you. All right. Take care.
Okay.
All right. That is Bruce Jenkins. More coming up on the Sports Leader.